Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Cool Down.
Cool Down. Cool. He's not introducing us and letting us do it anymore, Jets. Have you seen that? He's taking full ownership. Keep going.
I take full ownership of everything, guys. I can't let this the team has let me down too many times for me to allow them to let me down again. You know, if I allow you guys to let me down again, then I'm a fool. So let me rather not be a fool.
Well, you're supporting United though, Silo, and they're letting you down. So I don't know who's the real fool.
Hey, man. The Man United season ended long ago, so I don't know what team is playing. I think it's called Manchester 11. So I don't know what team is playing right now. But yeah, we've got Nick Stothard, the King of the North. He's happy. He's in the top 10. I think he's in the top 10. Yeah, he's in the top 10, yeah. I think. Yeah.
I told you guys.
Yeah, he's in the top 10. And then we've got Wonga, number 4. Up and down. He supports an up and down team. And they've got Claudio, still number 2 on the log, chasing the quadruple. The quadruple dream is still on. Guys, how are you guys doing this evening?
Oh, it's good. It's good to be in the top 10 for the first time this season. I predicted it last week. Claudio and Wonga, you were with me. And it happened. Duly so. It happened. And we're here to stay, boys. We might even try finish 8th. Who knows?
Hey, man, you guys can dream. You guys can dream. You guys can dream. How are you doing, Claudio? How's it going there, number 2 spot?
Oh, number 2 spot. Come on, we're chasing that number 1 spot. No, we're doing well. We're doing very well in the Liverpool camp. Very happy, very excited. Looking forward to the Champions League, gents.
No worries. And then Wonga, how's it going? Can you please tell everyone how you were dressed before the show started, and then all of a sudden you found a scarf because it was chilly. There was an aircon. There was a breeze coming in.
No, guys. It's. I don't know how Claudio's doing it, but I mean, you know, up here at the summit, it's quite chilly. So you got to chase surf. I don't know how Pereira's doing it.
It's because we've been up there all season. We're used to it now. Called climatized.
It was climatized.
Climatized. You're getting used to it. You know what I mean? Thanks for everyone for tuning in as well, guys. Remember, guys, to like, subscribe, comment as well. I think we're going to just start off with something a bit closer to home. For all those who don't know, there is a CAF Champions League that has also been going on, and a CAF Confederation Cup. The CAF Confed Cup is the Europa League equivalent of CAF football. And yeah, I think we got a bit of an upset. Mamelodi Sundowns has been knocked out. You know, or as Peter Msimane says, you know, you can win all your games in the group stages, but when it comes to the knockout stages, is where it matters most. And it happens with PSG, apparently. So he's not surprised because it happens with PSG. He said it's a PSG story again, with Sundowns getting knocked out, guys. How do you guys view this in terms of Sundowns? They won 5 games, drew 1 game in the group stages. Third consecutive year, they're going out in the quarterfinals of the CAF Champions League. Nick, let me touch on you because obviously you have some links with Mamelodi Sundowns.
I've got a funny story, actually. I never heard it through anyone at Sundowns, but one of my colleagues at work had found out somehow. And apparently Rulani, as one of the coaches, and I don't know if it was with another coach, potentially another coach or another technical team member, had flown to Angola. I think they were supposed to play a match this past midweek. And they had posted something on social media. And what the Angolan team did with the Federation of Angola, they got the match postponed just so that they can watch the game live. So it just shows you, you know, these smaller nations rally behind their teams, and they ensured that the game wasn't seen by the Mamelodi contingent, so Mamelodi Sundowns contingent. So I thought that was quite a funny story.
Definitely.
I think it goes to show, and I think Claudio touched on this a couple of weeks ago, you know, Sundowns have the ability to, you know, on their roster, they probably have, you know, in terms of ownership, 70 players, 60 players. I wouldn't be surprised. Yep. And they place them around the country, and, you know, they become a team that's really unbeatable within our borders. And I think it's sort of, it makes them, you know, I wouldn't say arrogant to the fact that they can possibly be beaten, but when you go play the likes of the best teams on the continent, you know, it does become a little bit trickier. And, you know, the competition is a lot stronger. So, unfortunately for them, they fall at this hurdle again. You know, Pizzo says, yeah, like you said, he's not worried. They can beat us in the group, but look where Al Ahly are at the moment. So exactly. He's having a last laugh at the end of the day. And it's unfortunate, you know, potentially Pirates can go do something in Africa now in terms of the Confederations Cup. But Sundowns, with the wealth that they have, with the quality of players and coaching that they have, they should be at least reaching a semi-finals and hoping to get into a final. So I would say an underachievement, to say the least, for Sundowns.
No, definitely, definitely. Wonga, what are your thoughts on Sundowns, the third season in a row, getting knocked out in the quarters?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. Look, I never watched the game. But I mean,
they missed the penalty, by the way, guys, as well in the first half. So
and
open goals as well. They missed so many chances that first half. But yeah, sorry about that, Wonga.
Yeah, there can be a lot of nerves then as well. Last week I thought definitely. I mean, what they were doing in the group stage. But again, like you said, Pizzo says not surprising because it does happen. But yeah, I mean, it's surprising, especially thinking that it's the third time in a row, you know, after doing it the second time, you know, you think you come back better, stronger, and I mean, more wiser to this. But it's happened again. And yeah, it is unfortunate. Like Nick said, I think, yeah, definitely they should be, with all their resources, they should be reaching a semi-final, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they're spending so much money on the best players. You know what I mean? They're recruiting all the best players in the PSL, and even guys from outside of South Africa, and then even outside of Africa, they're recruiting people
off the continent,
or from people from South America as well. Claudio, what do you think they have to do to get over this hurdle? You know, I think is it a mental block, because it's not really like PSG. You know, PSG have never won the Champions League, whereas Sundowns have won it, but now it seems like after they won it, they can't get over that hurdle, that final hurdle.
Yeah, I mean, it could just be a matter of complacency. It's one of those that they've been there, they've reached the mountaintop. Now the players think they're bigger than what they actually are. And then to what Nick was touching on earlier, the competition isn't here at home. So it's a walk in the park when they are playing home. When it's again, I know you make the comparison to PSG, not directly, but there is a parallel in a sense when it is time to roll up your sleeves and get stuck in, you don't. I suppose in this case, there was a lot of expectation of the home tie, this fixture. We still said, look, it's a massive chance for them to overturn the result and take the game forward, because they should be beating this side, technically speaking. But in the end of the day, they didn't take their chances. And I think maybe the pressure was a bit too much for them. And it's one of those when you have chance after chance after chance and you've been given a penalty and you don't take your chances, all the other side needs is that one vital sort of goal to make the difference. And at the end of the day, they did put the ball in the back of the net, was pulled back from VAR, and then they managed to get a penalty. So it's one of those. And you know, Portuguese side, so let's fix some Portuguese. So vamos, Luanda, under. Let's see something else there. I mean, Sundowns need to catch a wake.
I think they even have a Portuguese goalkeeper there, or a Brazilian goalkeeper, because I think his name is Wellington or something like along those lines. And you know, when you get those just one line names, you just know that they that they come from Brazil. You know, Wellington de Souza, Jesus.
There's like 10 names, and then they give like an English name as a nickname, John.
Exactly. So yeah,
Nick will know more of this now. Although, I mean, as soon as we start talking about Newcastle, but watch, they're gonna bring in those Brazilians after the performance of the two that they currently have. But yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Definitely. And then Pirates have gone through to the semis. They beat Simba on penalties. That match went to a penalty shootout. There was a VAR review where it was correctly given as a red card. So what do you think? Do you think Pirates can go all the way in this competition? Let me start with Nick there first.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a second-rate tournament, but it's an opportunity to get, you know, success. I think Pirates have been rather underwhelming in the league. As Chiefs have been, and I think, you know, there might be an opportunity for one of the Soweto teams to acquire some glory. You know, they came close to Roger Dassault, I think in the Champions League, if I'm not mistaken. I think they've come close in this tournament as well. So
yep.
I think the most interesting fact from this game or situation from this game was the situation before the game when the teams were warming up. Yeah, I don't know if all of you saw it, but the Simba players and staff were burning the center circle. It was literally on fire.
Yep.
And they were doing some
fire
dance around it. And, you know, I've seen it in South African football. Like the South African Muti men themselves get very nervous. And I saw one of the fellas there, one of the big fellas from Pirates there. He was panicking and he was trying to get something to try and extinguish this thing. And I think more than likely, 9 times out of 10, they get J's fluid or someone goes and takes a piss in a bottle. And they pour it over the whatever situation. Claudio, when we were playing Varsity Cup, apparently all that shit was happening behind the scenes. I'm finding out now.
Charters. Every time they did that, and we found out, every time they did that, we lost. And then eventually we caught Killer doing it, and we said, Killer, no more. And then we
I want to share for everyone, you know, some of the people that maybe are watching from outside South Africa or even those who haven't actually seen it, guys. I'm going to share a picture, guys, so that you guys can actually see what Nick is talking about in terms of the fire. This is the fire that Nick is talking about, guys. Look at that. On the center circle, they were burning something before the game started. So this is the Simba players. This is a team from Tanzania, the Tanzanian champions. They were literally burning something in the center circle before the game against Orlando Pirates. It was actually crazy, guys. Some form of muti. We do see it happening in African football, and I think it's obviously something that we become accustomed to. But yeah, it didn't work for them in the end. Pirates ended up winning on penalties, and then they've gone to the semi-finals where they're going to play against Al Ahly Tripoli, which is an Al Ahly from what Tripoli is in, I think, Libya.
So
they're playing, they're playing the Al Ahly from Libya. But yeah. That's the fortunes of Pirates. Claudio, do you want to comment? I know I've seen you wearing a Baganier cap from time to time.
Yeah, I know. The gents must go there. They must wear the same colors as Goal Lounge TV. It's a slight affiliation. So we need to keep the partnership going. No, I'm just kidding. Let's hope they can do something, man. We need Pirates to bring back something. It's the South African League. We know that a lot of the rest of Africa come here because it's comfortable. The guys get paid well. So let's actually just repay and remind everyone that this is a top place to be. And let's see what the quality has out there. Talking about the Muti thing, we caught them when we were doing the TikTok live in December for the Discovery Walter never mind. We'll keep going. I forgot what I was going to say there. Go ahead, Settle.
I thought you were going to say there was some Muti going on somewhere there, but it's all good.
No, wasn't there.
No, completely not. Yeah.
Okay, no, not there.
Conveniently sidetracked.
Okay, no worries. Wonga,
put your fist in your mouth, Claudia.
Wonga, final thoughts on just Pirates making the semis, and do you think they can actually win this tournament?
Look, I think they are. I'm happy they went through. I mean, after everything that happened. So the only thing I can't remember the striker's name now. I should have looked, but missed very good opportunities. Even that one at the end where
the one who scored.
So I can't remember myself. But you remember the one who headed the ball and it hit the guy's hand and went
the arm.
And then he missed many opportunities. But again, even the VAR as well. I can't understand these things with VAR.
Dubious, man. It's in Africa. Well, obviously, it has to be dubious in Africa, guys. It has to be. You know what I mean? Yes, the red card was right. I was happy with the red card. But that one at the end, it actually hit his arm, man. And he actually tried to move his arm. But what can we say?
I can say about that. But yeah, and I mean, look, I hope Sundowns does win it. And I mean, just like for Claudio's reasons.
Pirates,
sorry. Give the country a good name there. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, they are doing badly in the league.
Look,
as they should be.
It's one of those, if I had one of those magic eight balls, we'd shake it and we'd say before the Pirates game, it'd be like, not likely. We'd shake it again. It's probably going to say, probably not going to happen. We keep shaping. I think we're hoping more than what we're expecting, to be honest.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the truth about it. Yeah. I'm the same. I'm the same.
Okay, no, that's all good. Let's jump onto the Premier League. I think Wanga definitely is the person to start off this chat. But let me. Oh, wow. Wow. He's even. Yeah, guys. I think it's. Yeah, it's just go for it, Wanga. Just go for it. Just go. Just go.
We
go
for it, yeah. talk about Muti. The next thing, cloth start coming out and he starts wiping the face. I don't know. Is this your Arsenal ritual?
Yeah. What did I say? It's funny because we lost what, 3 in a row. Everyone was panicking. It was what, three weeks. It was 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And everyone was panicking. Arsenal fans were panicking. And all I said was, Tottenham disappointed. Did you see them? Again, disappointed. and Arsenal, what you picked up, just like we did the last time we lost 3 games, picked up. And we're on a winning streak. And we said Tottenham on paper, genuine, outside on paper, they have a better team than Arsenal. But they are where they are. And I see it happening again with them, to be honest with you. And Man United, I've said it again, now everyone's expecting them to lose games now. They don't know, it doesn't matter who they play now, they can actually lose.
Can I ask you a question? How do you think the game would have went if Bruno Fernandes scored that penalty?
Panic stations. That whole.
Yeah, no, it would have been.
Asking, Wanga. I didn't watch the game. I was busy. I was busy on Saturday, and you know, from when I watched the highlights, right? And obviously, when I was keeping up to date with the score on my phone, I see, okay, cool. Arsenal scored a goal first 3 minutes. You know what I mean? Sharp. Arsenal scores a penalty. Cool. No problem. It is a penalty. Then Man United actually should have also gotten a penalty before that, when Cedric actually handled the ball in the box, and then. We score through Ronaldo and then we get a penalty and we hit the post, you know, and Bruno luckily hit the post. The keeper went the wrong way. Do you think the game would have changed with that 2-2? Don't you think the momentum was going towards United?
Look, definitely. I watching the game, I think danger man in that game was Ronaldo. He was everywhere. He could see he really wants to win that game. He was pulling passes, obviously scored the goal. And yeah, you're right. If he had scored that, if Bruno Fernandes had scored that goal, it would have been two. But then again, like in a Man United team, like why is he taking the penalty? Okay, everyone,
Ronaldo missed the last penalty he took for Man United.
But I would give it to him still. I mean, if you're looking at Ronaldo's record, he's been playing for years, huge career. You definitely, no matter what. Yep. You give it to Ronaldo, like Ronaldo versus Ramsey. He's going to put on target. Not going to hit the post.
Has a better success rate in penalties, but obviously, yes, his sample size is less.
Yes.
But I also understand what you're saying, Wanga. And I'm not saying.
Yes.
Listen, me as a Man United fan, I will never go after the game and say, why did Bruno take the penalty? You know what I mean? For me, Bruno took the penalty, and I'm not going to question him for taking the penalty because Ronaldo missed the last one as well. So they both have missed their last penalties for Man United. So I can't really then say. One person is better than the other. You know, yes, Ronaldo's the BMT guy. You know what I mean? And obviously, I think he's the man for the big occasion. But Bruno took it. It was a decent penalty. It's just it hit the post. The keeper went the wrong way. You know, sort of like Jorginho who gave the ball straight to the goalkeeper.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, usually, if you're putting a penalty off target, it's going to tell a lot about the confidence of that penalty, to be honest with you. I've seen, Ronaldo... probably would have buried that one. But again,
what do you think as a Portuguese bad? What do you think as a Portuguese bad? Wanga slanting too much to Ronaldo here. I want to hear what you think about the penalty and maybe just the game in itself as a neutral.
Yeah, no. So I think first and foremost, gents, Bruno Fernandes has found himself in a terrible run of form. I think the performances aren't getting better. And now, you know, Man United fans like moving that microscope. I think Harry Maguire has been taken out of the fire line. So now the focus has been a lot of backlash towards Bruno Fernandes. And I think in this situation with the penalty, I mean, without doubt, you should give it to Ronaldo. For as long as he's at the club, he should just always have it. That's just what it should be. He's the greatest, he's the world's greatest goal scorer in the history.
Yeah, I think you're talking a bit of rubbish there. And then I think you just... Just died. It's like this guy's talking about to say nonsense. Yeah, let his connection go off a bit there. But Nick, on your side, what do you think of the game? Claudio, I don't know what happened to you.
Are you back?
Are you back, Claudio?
At what point did I get cut out there? When did I stop? He says he's the greatest in the world. He says this guy's a bunch of rubbish.
Let me catch
him. I'm saying, I mean, they call him Pinaldo for a reason, right? So it's one of those situations that apparently, allegedly, Ronaldo did say, you know, Bruno should take it. He was wearing the captain's armband, et cetera, but I do think now the focus is on Bruno because he also gave away the ball that led to a goal, and he's doing this often. So, and this is the question I posed when Ronaldo joined Man United in the first place, when I was looking at Bruno and Ronaldo being in the same team. And I'm saying the type of player Bruno Fernandes is, he can play, sure he can play and he can run around, but the issue is he gives the ball away more often than not. And if you've got a player like Ronaldo, he's not going to be giving you the work ethic. So now you've got two of those players, and this is the question I kept asking. And now you don't have any control in the midfield, and that's what's happening there. So from a Portuguese standpoint, when I'm looking at it, Ronaldo should always be on pens. I don't care. Until the man hangs up his boots, he should be on it because no one's going to complain if he misses. Bruno now has opened himself up and now he's receiving backlash.
But I think, Nick, go, Nick.
Nah, I just want to, if Jason's still watching, I want to prompt him because he came up with a fact that he wanted to share with the Goal Lounge show tonight. So I'm going to give him a couple of minutes. But my question to you, Cello, is what do you think of Man United's performance?
And
on the day,
are you still in agreement that Ronaldo should leave?
On the day,
hey!
What performance on the day?
Performance on the day.
Yeah,
on the day.
And then, if Jason comes right here, it will tie into your answer about Ronaldo.
No, I think Man United played well. You know, I think they played well attack wise. I think attack wise, they definitely did play well. You know, there were some chances that they had. Elanga missed a chance early on. You know, and obviously the penalty, I think we should have gotten in the first half already. And there was just a couple of chances that I think we should have just taken and buried away. And then obviously our defensive frailties came to the fore again, which is obviously something that's been an ongoing theme. You know, if it's not Harry Maguire making mistakes, it's Alex Telles making mistakes at the back. You know, that ball that goes to Bukayo Saka at the back post should definitely be cleared. You know, that ball should be cleared by him. I think, there's just no confidence within the team, you know, and also even De Gea has lost a lot of confidence in the team because, you know, he's not even having an opportunity to even save the balls. You know what I mean? I think he's also very much deflated by the team in itself. You know what I mean? Doesn't, you know, he's been saving us so often this season. But I think, with Ronaldo, to have scored the most EPL goals for Man United in one season since RBP in 2012. Oh, that's fair. That's fair. That's not a surprise. That's not a surprise.
So 22 goals now for the season as well. Playing that United side. That's ridiculous.
But he's a natural goal scorer. He's a natural goal scorer. I think, you know, going forward, we can definitely have him in the side next season. I think at least having the right coach is the most important thing. And I think there's a lot of noise happening with Man United right now that we are about to hire the right people in the side. I mean, in the back room, in terms of just not even the coach, you know, outside of the coach, you know, Ralph Rangnick is going to continue in his consultancy role, and what's this guy Mitchell might join. He's obviously he's the Monaco sporting director. Had success at Spurs. Had success at Southampton. So he's quite a well-renowned sporting director. So they are the right noises. And I think if Ronaldo is on board with the project, he can join. You know, even Pogba is saying that Pogba's next move is a football decision. You know, at the end of the day, because where he's going to go, they're not offering him more money than what Man United are offering him. So if he does leave and go to a PSG or a Madrid or whatever club he decides to go on, will be definitely on football merit, where he would have more opportunity to win some trophies.
Take Salah. Why don't you have Pogba and Salah? Just like that. Just give them what they want.
But Ronaldo has shown the hunger and the fight still to definitely want to contribute. And I think he can definitely be there. But I think he must also realize that his minutes will not be guaranteed next season. And I think that's the question. You know, how will he feel about his minutes not being guaranteed next season? But that's that part. Wonga, just the last point from you. don't go into too much detail in terms of this statement.
Yes, so what I wanted to say was in terms of the Arsenal top four position, I see Jason was saying that I must keep grounded. No, and I just want to reply to that and tell him I am grounded, Jason. I'm just elaborating on what I said last time is that, you know, there was a lot of panic. You know, remember we saw Arsenal going out, they're saying they were getting people to change the culture, and guys were saying Tottenham were going to finish top four. So I'm just trying to say that, look, I mean, it's exactly as you said, that top four position, it doesn't look like anyone wants it. And look, I don't expect Arsenal to win every game coming out now, but they've done well by winning the toughest games we think they would have had out of those out of the ones left. So, but yeah, it's still open. I agree with you 100%. It's still open. Okay, and Tottenham will disappoint again.
So yeah, while we're on the topic of top four, I think we must just jump on to Spurs versus Brentford. You know, we'll go from top four, relegation, Newcastle, and then top two. You know what I mean? Because Newcastle is on its own, doesn't know where it is right now. But yeah, which is a good thing.
It's a good thing.
I didn't include you in relegation, Nick. So
we're closer to Man United than we are the relegation zone. So
that's very good. That's very good. Which are Brentford drew with Spurs 0-0. Interestingly, Gavin Hunt was at the game. Gavin Hunt went to the midweek game, the City versus Brighton game. He spent some time with City at the training ground, and then he went to the Brentford and Spurs game as well. So it was a London derby, startup team doing what they do again, punching above their weight, 0-0 against Spurs, you know, destabilizing Spurs and making Wonga a very happy man. I think Wonga might buy a Brentford shirt soon. What do you guys think of this game? Just a quick, you know, Christian Eriksen obviously coming back against his former club. You know, I saw him at the end of the game, you know, signing a Spurs jersey for a disabled fan, which was quite nice. What do you guys think of you know, Spurs? Do you guys think that Spurs can still, you know, challenge for that top four? Nick, what do you think?
I think they've got a game in hand, if I'm not mistaken.
They're the same. 33-33.
I do think the game against Arsenal is going to probably set the tone for who actually, you know, Arsenal can probably avoid defeat, but it's going to be tricky. I do think Man United are more than likely out of it now with a tough game against Chelsea in the week. So I do think it's a two-horse race. However, they need to stop dropping points, especially against teams that should be on paper beatable, because in their top four credentials are tainted a little bit, you know, every time they do drop points. So it's going to be a titanic battle against Arsenal. I don't think it's a very big derby in terms of, you know, spice, but this one might be spicy simply because there's something up for grabs. Yeah, Wonga, it's probably like fifth or sixth most exciting derby in England. So even Newcastle Sunderland is a lot more spicier than that. I do think Conte, if he does get it right and he gets them into the Champions League, I do think Spurs will be on the up. I think he will attract players. And I do think his project, if backed, will succeed. What success means would probably mean solidifying a top four position, maybe challenging the top three, if you want to call it that. There's a great opportunity for that with Chelsea specifically, you know, in a bit of disarray at the moment. But he needs time. But I think his time is based on him getting into the top four now. I don't see him being attracted to a Europa League job next season.
Challenge, yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah, that's fair. So, yeah, guys, just a quick one. Who will make top four, Spurs or Arsenal? Let me start with Wonga and then Nick and then Claudio. Wonga, who will make top four? Okay, no.
Come on.
I would have been very worried if you said the other team. Nick, who will make top four, Spurs or Arsenal?
Arsenal.
Claudio?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think it's given Arsenal gonna take it. I don't think Spurs can be asked right now because they're just wondering whether or not they're gonna hang on to Conte. Conte's deciding whether or not he wants to stay at the end of the season. PSG already coming after him. And we've got the likelihood is Pochettino's probably gonna be in the seat next season. That's where Spurs is. The only difference, you know, Spurs are similar to Man United in terms of they're both Spurs. Jason always. It's not gonna happen, man. I don't think it's gonna happen. Look, Man United and Spurs. The only difference is right now is Man United are in the focus. Everyone's saying they're a circus, but we know Spurs is the circus club. They've always been the circus club. And that's what I'm saying. Whatever they're not, Spurs fans will be surprised if they get top four this season. That's what I'm telling you. They won't be overjoyed or they won't be disappointed if they don't get it. They'll just be surprised if they do get it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Okay. No, and then, yeah, on my side, I think, yeah. I couldn't be asked to mix it, so yeah, that's about me. Yeah. But yeah, let's
conveniently, Cello, conveniently.
Burnley, hey guys, I needed to bring in Burnley into this discussion, guys. I think yeah, they've been on a bit of a resurgence under Ben Mee and the under 23 coach. Yeah, they beat Wolves on the weekend 1-0 after drawing against West Ham last weekend. And also having a favorable result. Right? They beat they won 2-0 against, help me out, guys. Who did they beat 2-0 again? Before that? Come on, guys. Come on. You guys don't watch football.
No, man. We watch our own sides play, Silo. Burnley won, beat Southampton 2-0, and then they beat
Wolves
1-0.
Thank you.
Yes,
and they drew before that against West Ham. So that's the three games that have happened so far. But just in terms of that, guys, Claudio, okay, now I can't bring you into it, but I'll bring you into it at the end of the discussion. But
Wanga, Gavin, what do you Gavin think about, is Gavin Hunt going after the job? I think no. That's why he flew to the UK. Sorry, Wanga.
Wait. Okay, Jason says, Wanga, you'll beat United then lose to someone like Watford.
We're not Spurs. It's
Wanga had lost to Southampton, Brighton, and another team before beating Chelsea and Man United.
But look.
But just Wanga, Wanga, no. We're not doing this about Arsenal again. Burnley fighting to survive. You know, right now, the Premier League table as it stands, guys.
No.
What's wrong now? Burnley's on number 17 with 31 points. Everton with a game in hand on 29 points. So 2-point difference, and Everton's got a game in hand. And obviously, we know game in hand is never guaranteed anything. But Wanga, what do you think in terms of the fight at the relegation end between these two teams? It is between these two teams, right, guys? No one else, correct?
Leeds are still in it. Leeds.
Look
at their running. Okay, that's what I was actually going to type in the chat here. Is there any way you can pull up the run-in for all three teams? Because Leeds have a very, very tricky
Gents,
run-in.
But Leeds haven't lost in 5 games. They've won 3,
I'll
drawn 2. I think their next game is
but look
who
they're playing in Man City, though.
I'll bring it up.
And they still got to play. And they got to play Chelsea.
Yeah, but Leeds are going to take points.
That's game over.
Wanga, please,
nah, they're not going to. Come on. Come on.
Please tell me what you think about
Burnley.
More of a
chance of Newcastle getting points of view.
Burnley have done this. They do this every season, and I think, after the couple of results, they surely would believe. I think Everton are drained. I watched them against the Liverpool, and then they went to go blame the referee. I mean, even that thing that Lampard is complaining about was it started like 5-10 meters outside the box. I wouldn't even complain about that. So you see, like they're just clutching at straws, you know. And if I'm looking at like the way they're complaining, it's worrying. It's very worrying.
I think they picked the wrong manager for the dogfight. You know what I mean? I think, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
Frank Lampard is, you know, he's not a grafter. You know what I mean? He's a, you know, let me play a nice pass, you know, ooh, type of thing. But on something that Nick wanted us to discuss in terms of the relegation battle, the remaining fixtures for each of the teams. So let's start off with Everton, guys, because obviously they, the team that's got the most games left to play. So they've got Chelsea, Leicester, Watford, Brentford, Palace, and Arsenal. So guys,
Arsenal's going to punish.
Realistically, guys, out of these 6 games, which is 18 points, guys, let's do it, guys. 18
yeah,
points.
Let's work it out.
Let's work it out. How much? How many points do you think that they will get from this? I'm going to ask Wonga.
Let's go game at game, Silo.
No, Wonga. Just
look at nothing.
Okay, Chelsea.
League zero. Wonga, Chelsea. They don't win any game yet.
Leicester.
Zero.
I think they can get a point at
they
Leicester.
Win.
1 point.
I think they,
1 point.
I think 1 point.
I think 1-1. I think
no, they beat Watford, guys.
They can get 5 points there.
And then Brentford, they can draw against Brentford, so that's 5 points.
Yeah, five points.
And then Palace a draw
at home. They're playing Palace at home.
Okay, a win. So let's say
at
8 points.
Six, eight or
let's
six.
Let's give them 8 points. So we're giving Palace. Everton 8 points. We're giving 8 points. So Everton's going to end on 37 points, and then Burnley, Watford away.
It's a tricky one because Watford still have a slim chance, so they're going to be fighting. So I would say
yes.
Hey, one here, Villa at home, they could win.
They probably win that.
Okay, then they play Villa. Then they play Villa again away. So that's a
probably. Draw that or lose.
Steven Gerrard won't lose twice there.
Twice. So let's say 4 points. Nope. Tottenham four away, points. They lose. Newcastle away. Yeah, they might get a point there.
Newcastle lose.
Yeah.
They draw.
Yeah, they maybe lose 4 points.
Newcastle aren't ending the season with a loss. That's for sure.
So four plus one.
No worries,
let's do this, guys. 4 plus 1. So Burnley's got. They end up 36 points, guys.
Guys, that's Everton, Everton are not going to get 8 points. Everton are getting 5 or 6. They're not getting 8.
That's what I said. I agree with you.
So Everton's going to be in 35 points, and then we say
guys,
that
look at
Burnley,
just look
Burnley
at Leeds.
Yo,
look
Leeds. At
Leeds. Leeds, Man City, Arsenal, Chelsea, Brighton, Brentford. Listen, guys.
Leeds,
I think, guys, Leeds just need one win to survive. Because from what we said, that no team is going to get to 37. I think Leeds just needs one win to survive.
But now the problem is, Celo, if they don't win a game in the next three, if they get zero in the next three, and those other teams get points, the momentum swings.
But
so,
you know what's going to happen, guys? Leeds is going to get a point against Arsenal. I'm predicting it. I'm putting it on the show right now, guys. They're getting a point against... They're playing Man City next and then playing Arsenal and then Chelsea. I think Leeds will get a point against Arsenal. When it happens, you heard it here first, guys.
It's not going to happen, man. Get no ways.
Guys, I think the writing on the wall is there for Everton. I don't see them coming out of this. I think they're done. I mean, Nick will know this very well.
So
they beat Newcastle's a big club. They went down.
That's quite a nice segue into Everton. I think it touches on obviously their result against Liverpool. Yes, it was one of the later games of the weekend, but you know we're talking about the relegation battle. We might as well talk about Everton, which is one of the sides of the relegation battle. I think that they actually played well. You know, I think they actually fared quite well. They did better than the Manchester United against Liverpool. You know, I mean they gave a lot more heart. I think that kid Gordon is one for the future. Definitely on the left hand side, he always looked dangerous.
Yep.
He should have gotten a penalty in my eyes. But he did very well. And I think Liverpool were actually quite lucky to end the game with 10 men. Even Everton also were lucky to end the game with 10 men. You know, I think Sadio Mane should have gotten a red card.
And a Richarlison should have got
a red card. I can't believe they actually saw that and asked the guy to go back to the monitor. But yeah, it was quite a nice derby. You know, I think obviously it is probably top three derbies in England. Because North London, we said, is outside the top three. Claudio, what do you think about this game from a Liverpool perspective?
Yeah, I mean, what is there to say apart from the fact they got the points they needed to get? As a Liverpool fan, do we care? Do we care if Everton get really get? What's that?
It's boring talking about Liverpool, guys. This guy doesn't even have energy for us.
Oh no, because you had the intro already. You were trying to lay some bombs there, and obviously no one's taking the bait on this side. I'm just saying the Everton thing's a bit sad because Everton.
I said it's top three derbies, and I said that Everton plays better than Man United.
So that's not saying much, Silo. I mean, if we're looking at it right now, if we're looking at the derbies, looking at Everton, I think that's the sad thing if they do get it because even in that they're struggling right now as a club, and even that was feisty. it wasn't the greatest approach, but it was an approach that the only approach really they could have taken on the day. And they did. They nearly got away with it. I mean, there were decisions. People are going to complain about VAR. They're going to complain about all these sort of things. But I think at the end of the day, the one thing that the ref did do was he was consistent. You mentioned it there. Mane probably should have got sent off. Richarlison should have got sent off. Neither of them did. And both players are going to be key with what remaining goes forward with both these sides. So that's fine. I think the penalty one, I mean, when you're looking at it at first glance, you say it's a penalty. But then you go back to what happened earlier in the game and you go back to what this kid Gordon has been doing. By the way, a former Liverpool Academy player that was released, who's landed up at Everton, who's fantastic. He had a great game on the day. But I mean, he's been diving. He was diving. So that's not going to go his way. And that's sort of the momentum there. He cuts in front of the defender. He stands on Matip's foot and he goes over. So, well, first glance, you go, yeah, 100% penalty. When you look at it again, it's one of those where you convince yourself that it isn't a penalty. But yeah, if there's no VAR, I think, It is because you look at it and you see what he's done. If you go back to and you actually see other highlights that he's done in other games, he did exactly the same thing that wasn't given. And they look at him where he runs and he cuts in front of the player and he dives. So it's one of those where, unfortunately, he's a young player, but he's already got reputation.
So Matip didn't touch him at all.
I'm asking
it's a yes or no. Did Matip touch him with his
so then I've got
him
a,
on the back?
Then,
did Matt, I'm asking you can so ask no, me after no, you no, say hang yes on. Or no. No, I'm asking, course, then you ask. I'm asking,
okay,
then you ask.
Listen to
did
this.
Matip,
okay.
Did Matip put a
he's almost to, yeah, his arm touched him, yes. Now okay, question going into that before getting touched, was the young boy's arm not touching him back? Yes or no?
It was touching.
Because he leans in. Exactly. So they're both touching each other, and if you look at the slow, then he stands on his it's irrelevant. Look. At the end of the day, the decision was given. They're going to be complaining. Doesn't matter. The result was always going to go Liverpool's way. It was one of those where they fought tooth and nail to try and get a result. They didn't get the result. And Liverpool are in it. Now they focus on Champions League. There we go, Silo. You can move off this boring topic for us excited Liverpool fans.
No. I think it is important to touch on these matters because, you know, this is one of the games I actually did watch on the weekend. You know what I mean? And where obviously I'm trying to look and feel what is Twitter saying, you know what I mean? Obviously I think, you know, Lampard has come out afterwards and made a statement that if it had happened at the other side of the, at the other end with Mohamed Salah being the one who's affected, it's a penalty, which I agree with him. If it's Mohamed Salah at the other end, it's a penalty at Anfield. You know what I mean? It's the other direction. What do you think, Nick? What do you think in that situation? Do you think Lampard is right in what he said, or don't
I think
look
he
at
just,
listen,
to be
Nick,
honest
Nick,
with you, I think
you,
he
not,
feels
you're not in the relegation battle anymore, so you don't have to think about Everton as a opponent.
I think he feels hard done by simply because, you know, his team defended valiantly for I don't know 60 minutes or whatever it was, and you know, decisions maybe don't go your way down at the bottom of the league. However, you maybe make your own luck at times. Liverpool were always going to win the game one way or the other. You know, if they scored 100%. One goal, you know, maybe that deep line block would have become even deeper, and you know, Liverpool would have had to come with a plan B. And they've proven time and time again that they will get the result. And there was only one winner out of that game. I personally don't like the kid Godfrey. Is it Godfrey?
No, Gordon.
Gordon, I don't like him. I think he's a little fucking git. He just moans all the time. And, I think he's a half decent player, but if he did less moaning, I think he would be an even better player. I think he caused a lot of the shit, you know, and he caused a lot of shit against Newcastle. I saw him doing a lot. In terms of Liverpool, I do think Mane's decision was a little bit strange that they never checked it. But I think Everton are in the position they are in not because they lost 2-0 to Liverpool. It's because of their dismal season throughout the season. But there was a question I actually wanted to ask you, Claudio. Do you care for Everton to stay in the league, or would you care less if they got relegated?
I think if you go into Liverpool, I think prior to the season, the reality of it actually being a serious one, I think a lot of people would have said, yeah, no, who gives a shit if Everton can relegate it? But I mean, when you look at that game that we witnessed, despite and how poorly they're doing, I've said the atmosphere was still there. It was still a bite to the game. Whereas the Man United Liverpool is meant to be arguably one of the biggest games in English football, if not the biggest game. And there was absolutely nothing there the other day. So when you're looking at that, you're like, that is something you're removing as a product from the Premier League, which is slightly, you know, it's, look, to be fair, they haven't done much against Liverpool for a long, long time, but it's still fun to watch. But if they get relegated, they deserve to. That's the reality. Yeah. I do want to say two things that we need to mention. Pickford's shithousery that he was doing and Alisson replying to that by doing exactly what he did at the end when we went 2-0 up, slowing the game down, holding the ball, then Alisson did the same. And the second thing is Klopp's inspired changes. He made the double substitution that changed the game. And Divock Origi, by the way, is an absolute super sub of note in the Premier League. In Liverpool's history, I think he's the greatest ever Premier League super sub, without doubt. I mean, the man, he scored 6 goals out of 10 games against Everton. So, yeah, he's going to be a big loss. He's going to be a big loss when he leaves at the end of the season.
I think when he came on, there was just the sense that he would probably get a goal, even though he didn't get the first goal. But, very much, as you said, inspired substitutions by Klopp. They definitely did change the game. And I think, probably within 7 minutes or something, they already got that first goal. Let's see what happens with Everton. It would be sad to not have Goodison Park in the Premier League next season. But as we said, guys, St. James's Park has been relegated. Villa Park has been relegated. So, guys, Goodison can also go down as well. And looking at the other team at the top of the table that's challenging with Liverpool for the title, they had a routine victory, 5-1. They are trying to obviously reduce the goal difference between themselves and Liverpool. I think Liverpool probably had a nine goal lead on them in terms of the goal difference. I think they've cut it down now to 5, which is obviously will be beneficial in case there's, is it 4? Okay, 4 goals, yeah. 4. So they've cut down to 4 goals, it's helping them out. But guys, just something I want to touch on, not maybe the game in itself, but there's rumors that Gabriel Jesus is for sale. Awonga and then Nick and myself, I think the three guys who maybe should ask ourselves, would we take a Gabriel Jesus? Me less so, obviously, because a Man City player. But Awonga, I heard your team being mentioned. Would you take a Gabriel Jesus at Arsenal?
Arsenal needs a striker. That's the truth of it. I just think we need someone. He's a good striker. I just think we need someone. And I think he would suit the Arsenal style of play. Let me answer your question. I wouldn't mind taking him. That's the honest truth. I wouldn't mind taking him. But we wouldn't be the only striker we'd need to get if we do get one.
Because Nketiah is going to leave, so you need two.
Yeah, and Lacazette doesn't know what he wants, so yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Guys,
Nick,
he scores.
Would you take him?
He improves any team in world football. And I even include Liverpool in that. He improves. You add him to any squad in the league. He scores goals.
He's a hard worker. He's a hard worker as well.
I do think also that maybe the Brazilian connection there can inspire him to come to maybe a new project. I don't know. Maybe.
And you know what, Nick? You're not wrong there because the World Cup, you know, right now he's not on the Brazilian squad. The World Cup's around the corner. He's going to get paid at Newcastle and he'll be the main man at Newcastle. So why not? Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they do maybe going for a cheeky little bit there. I also just wonder why City would want to get rid of him because he's doing the business.
Haaland's coming in.
Haaland and Alvarez, guys. Alvarez is already signed there from River Plate.
He's managed, he's had players in the past where he's had full rosters of players and he's managed to keep them happy as has maybe barring a Sterling, but he has, I'm saying hello to Richard the Hammer, guys.
Get him on to speak about his Europa League.
He's running onto the field now, so I need my operation to run smoothly here, guys. Please leave him play. I think Pep has managed big squads and they are lesser for him, unless they do maybe replace with two. But yeah, I listen. I mean, he'll be a great addition to any team. I do think he'll go to Spain. I just have that feeling.
Sure.
But yeah, let's see.
I think Arsenal it would be runners. They're saying Edu there is pulling some strings because he knows the boy.
Yeah, it would be a great coup for Arsenal. You know, if they get into the Champions League and sign him, you know, you add him and a couple more players, then Arsenal are serious contenders to stay within the top four next season and maybe have a good run going into the Champions League. So yeah,
I like how you say stay in the top four.
Yeah, I'm not saying you'll win the league.
No, but that's all good. That's all good and well. I think yeah, we might as well then just jump onto your team, Nick. I think obviously a great performance by Jolinton, Cassio, Apolinario, De Lira.
Nah, and guys.
And also a great performance by Bruno Guimarães, Rodriguez Moura.
Did you see Bruno's goal? Like, there's only one Bruno in the league right now, and that's Bruno Guimarães.
He said it right. Nailed it.
Yeah. He's the only one at the moment. I'm not saying yours isn't there, Cello,
but I told you he's the real deal. Yeah, I told you the real deal before you assigned him because I had seen him play for Leon and I had seen him play a bit for Brazil as well. So I knew he was the real deal because
for me, Cello, and I think we had spoken about this. I didn't know too much about him. You did, but I look at an Arsenal, I look at a Spurs, I look at a Man United. He contributes to those teams immediately. 100%. Immediately, and there's a reason why he's, you know, now he started to get starts for Brazil. He's got a couple of goals for them. He's scoring for us. I mean, he scored 4 goals for us already, and he hasn't even played that much. But I think just his range of passes are something that I'm not used to. You know, Jonjo Shelvey can pass the ball, but he can do it in areas where Jonjo Shelvey can't get. He can't go further up the field and break lines of defense and he's a willing runner to get into the box. So he played more as a 6 from what I understand at Leon. I think he's been given more of a number 8 role. He's box to box and the fans love him. And I think just that Brazilian connection, having another Brazilian in the squad has also helped him. It's helped Jolinton himself.
Jolinton, look at the scoring 2 goals.
Can we say Jolinton has been the best player under Eddie Howe?
Yes, yeah. I think he's definitely the most improved and more than likely.
Come on, give him best, please.
I think best in the sense of hard work because we didn't have that midfielder who would work hard for the team and Jolinton was a passenger for the last 2 seasons. He's been a passenger and now he's contributing with assists. He's contributing with tackles. He's contributing with goals now. And what I'm excited about is, you know, we've done this with, yes, you know, fans of other teams will say, yeah, we spent 90 million, but we spent 90 million on players that no one really knew much about. You had a Matt Target who was okay, well, probably player of the season, player of the season for Villa, but then sort of told to leave because Digne is coming. You got Dan Byrne, who was second rate at Brighton. You've got a Bruno who I didn't even know much about. And you know, those sort of players have contributed to now the success of us. And it shows you how close, you know, that middle table is. We top of the rest. At the moment, we're the top of the rest. And
you're not above Wolves.
They're close to you. What are you talking about?
You're coming for Wolves, boy.
You're second last of the top.
So are we saying Wolves is a part of the top? Because West Ham have shown themselves to be a part of the top because of what happened last season.
Wolves were in the conversation for Champions League not even 3 weeks ago. So they can't be now the top of the rest. Maybe they'll fall into that bracket. But Wolves are having a good season.
That's what you hope. Nick, you've had a lot to say about Wolves over the years, eh? But I just want to touch on Claudio, what do you think about Newcastle's resurgence? Where do you think they can realistically end the season? Do you think they can actually be the best of the rest at number 8? Or do you think number 9 is where they'll end up?
I think according to form, they are the best of the rest at the moment. I think the only side to do better than what they've done currently in terms of this new year is, I think, Liverpool. Just edging. So they are up top there with regards to form. And I think, 6 points behind Wolves? That's and there's still a couple of games to play. Look, the next game is against Liverpool, and I think arguably for Liverpool's sake, going away and playing them there, their home, I think that's going to be one of their tougher games for Liverpool to try and compete for the title. And that's the one we could all say, okay. No, Wonga's, I mean, he's shaking his head because that's where we're going to see a clash. We're going to see a clash of good, of form. We're going to see a clash of atmosphere. It's going to be a tough, tough place for Liverpool.
Liverpool, Newcastle is always, like, historically, it's been a feisty game. Yeah. And I do think if you look at the situation with our fixtures, we've got tough fixtures, but we have a say. We're going to have a say in the champions, whoever wins the league. We're going to have a say in relegation with Burnley on the last day. And then we throw in Arsenal there. We could spoil the party for them. So I do think Eddie Howe's not going to – he's not going to push the brake now. I mean, he wants momentum going into next season. He wants to be able to attract players to the club. And I have no doubt. I think he's going to go full tilt and try finish as high as possible. And why not? We've got the points because we've performed. So why drop off now? So exciting times. We've got a lot to do, especially in the summer. But my question to you guys is, what is Newcastle's ambition for next season? What would you say?
I would like to say
you can try compete with the top seven. Why not?
Yeah, get into Europe. So top, obviously, I think, we got number five and
six and seven aren't guaranteed.
It depends. Yeah. So obviously we can have number five and six in Europe. You know, we can have Europa League one and then the other in the Conference League. And then possibly number seven can also get in if the one of the top four or top five wins the FA Cup, which is going to happen like this season. So I think, top seven is what Newcastle should definitely aim for, to compete with a West Ham in that top seven, to compete with a Man United and a Spurs and an Arsenal, because those are the ones that are lagging behind right now, lagging behind the top three. So I think top seven for you guys should be your aim.
And to be fair, I mean, this is not necessarily appropriate for this show, and we'll speak about it at a later stage, but Declan Rice looks likely to leave West Ham, and he's been instrumental for that side. So that's also going to be an interesting one for the likes of Newcastle to come up.
Who's going to spend £150 million?
Someone will.
Bruh.
And I do think looking at Chelsea's situation, not knowing, I mean, players are leaving left, right, and centre there this week.
Christensen and Rudiger already.
So, like, you look at their situation, there might be an opportunity to, you know, for like a Man United, an Arsenal, and a Spurs to have a full tilt to top four. You know, you might find them falling out of that bracket. So, I do think that it might be a season of opportunities. And I do think, I mean, there's been a lot of like comparisons to Man City, and I don't think our comparisons are necessarily the same. Man City went and spent stupid money on a guy like Rubinho, and we haven't done that. You know, I've wanted that. As a fan, I want to go and buy the marquee signings, but we sign in conservatively. Will be interesting to see now. Rome wasn't built in a day, but we can push the envelope like as fans. So. Celo,
you gotta learn how to hit the brakes with this guy. Otherwise, the whole show is gonna be about Newcastle. You gotta watch out.
Yeah, I want to hear what you have to say.
The man
is happy, but I think that wraps it up in terms of the Premier League roundup. I think the Chelsea and the West Ham game was quite boring, and I fell asleep. So we can't really talk about it much because I think probably all of us fell asleep watching it. Just before we do wrap up, there is some Champions League fixtures happening tonight and tomorrow night. The first game is Man City against Real Madrid. So we won't really talk about it too much in detail because Manchester City don't really have fans. But just in terms of predictions, guys, Wonga, you can just do a one sentence in terms of what's the prediction for the match and then what's the prediction for the tie. So who will go through in the end to the final? So you just do a. This team will win tonight, and then this team will win the tie because of X, Y, and Z. And then same thing from Nick and Claudio, and then we'll do the same thing with the Liverpool and Villarreal game, and then we'll be done.
I think Man City wins this game 2-0, and I think Man City go through to the final. Any Even line, if I'm wrong, they go through to the final.
Any line on why, or you just That's just it.
Look, you asked him to. You I think, but yeah, it's one sentence, bro.
Yeah, one sentence.
Yeah,
like,
I think my teacher opinions.
Paragraph.
Man City wanted more, something like that. You know what I mean? I don't know. You
decide. Yeah, I think Man City are the. I think Man City are the better team. Madrid up and downs, but I think Man City with consistency. I think they'll get it through.
Okay, no, that's fair. That's fair. Wonga, Nick, on your side in terms of this game, the tie as a whole.
3-2 win for Man City tonight. I think it'll be quite exciting. Man City go through to the final. I think they'll go get a draw at the Bernabeu. So I called it City Liverpool final. So that's my reasoning. And support of English teams.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Claudio, on your side.
My side, I definitely see Real Madrid scoring tonight, but like Nick, I think it's going to be separated by one goal. So I'm going to say 2-1 victory to Man City. I'm hoping it takes a lot out of them so that when they do face Leeds on the weekend, they struggle a little bit and they, you know, Guardiola's forced to overthink things. I'm hoping that Man City do progress to the final, largely because then they will still be distracted with regards to the league. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Real Madrid are going to come out and go to the final. And I think, yeah, Gail, we're going to move over to the next game. Yeah, Real Madrid going to the final.
Okay. No, that's fair. Yeah, I think this game will be a 2-1 victory to Man City. And I think, yeah, it'll probably go to a penalty shootout in the end. And I think, yeah, I think Man City will just edge it out in the end. And yeah, the next game is a bit more obviously exciting for Claudio. Wonga, same thing. The game's at Anfield tomorrow. And obviously, yeah, just the tie in as a whole. Good evening. Just tell us, yeah. What do you think, Wonga?
No, I think, I don't think Liverpool will be surprised by Villarreal because Villarreal's already done that to Bayern. I think they'll be well prepared for this. And Juventus. So I think, yeah, Liverpool definitely won't. They can't be, actually. And, then they'll end up winning. I think they take the first leg at 2-0. And, yeah, they will end up going to the final.
Yeah, I think Liverpool go through to the final. I think it's going to be a tough game for them. Well, I'm hoping it's a tough game for them because we play you on the weekend, Claudio. But I think Villarreal will score. But I do think Liverpool will edge it out 2-1. Liverpool to the final, all English final.
Yeah, I mean, from my side, Liverpool have been caught by Villarreal. I mean, when Jurgen Klopp was first there, obviously nowhere near the same standard that Liverpool squad he's got now. So I think he is very wary of Emery. He's seen what he's done to Bayern and Juventus, and they will obviously try and learn and not, you know, not get sucker punched like Man United did last season. So I'm hoping Liverpool go through and do the things and go to the final. So, but yeah, Nick, it's all down to how much these games take out of Liverpool and Man City and how that affects the league. Obviously, with Liverpool, the league is going to be priority, Champions League for Man City. But I think, you know, I think you said Man City League, Liverpool Champions League. Am I correct?
Yeah, Liverpool League, Man City Champions League.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say Real Madrid Liverpool final.
Okay.
Liverpool going to get revenge.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, this one.
Would you not rather play a Man City in the final? Because you've played them so often, probably know what you're going to get. Or do you think a Real Madrid are a weaker team?
No. I'd rather face Man City in the final, for sure. I think Liverpool going to that final, it will be like Liverpool faced Man City for the FA Cup semis. So I think it'll be the same thing. Liverpool, the fans will feel confident. The players will feel confident. I think it'll be a lot. There's more pressure on Man City going into that. So I would prefer that. But I think Real Madrid are going to knock them because they've got what Liverpool have. And that's the sort of history behind the tournament and the comfort zone.
Okay. No, cool. That's interesting. Yeah, I think, yeah, Liverpool will make it to this final. I do see an all-English final happening this season. But yeah, again, two seasons in a row would be. But yeah, guys, final thoughts before we do say bye to everyone. Wonga, what's your final thoughts today? Sorry, we didn't have enough time for your Wonga rants tonight. But yeah, what's your final thoughts?
Final thought: I'm still trying to figure out how Bruno Fernandes stays on the pitch with that horrid tackle of his on was it Partey? Who was in the midfielder? I can't remember, but it was a horrible tackle above the ankle. Ball's completely gone, studs up, and he only gets yellow. I think even after they checked the VAR, can't understand how he stays in the field. But
it's unfortunate.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate. I didn't watch the game, so I can't comment. And it's not it's only the highlights package. So I can't.
I will show you. It's horrible tackle.
Show me.
But not worse than McTominay's, but horrible tackle.
Yeah, I know that McTominay one was horrible. Nick, on your side, final thoughts?
So I've got a small prediction here, guys. Newcastle are going to get 4 points off Liverpool and Man City, respectively. Well, together. I don't know in which order. And we are going to decide where the title goes. So it might be one today, and then we go beat City, and then I bring Claudio back into it. But I have a feeling. I have a feeling. And then we're going to beat Wonga.
That's what. How do you say it?
My final thoughts, man.
Yeah, my final thoughts is it's good to see Wonga and Nick finding their voices after a couple of long seasons. So, welcome, gentlemen. Welcome to Goal Lounge TV. Hey!
How many points are you clear, though, Claudio? Two or one? Behind?
One point.
1 point.
Yeah, so I draw to you and I beat City. That's it. That you're still in.
Yeah.
You win the league. So
I love how Nick, did you see how the conversation, Newcastle involved in everything, relegation, winning the winners for the Premier League, you know, European spots. So yeah, it's exciting times for them, eh? Hey,
Nick. Yeah. Interesting. Quality interesting. Times. But yeah, guys, thanks a lot for tuning in, guys. Thanks to Warren. Thanks to Jason.
And then the Man United fan doesn't have much to say.
The comments wasn't really shaking.
He doesn't even watch his team. Play anymore. And he openly says that. He comes in, he's like, I don't even watch it. I just come here to host the show.
Bruh, I just came here to host the show. I have too much to do on my weekends, man. I've got weddings. I got weddings to attend, weddings to DJ at, weddings to. But yeah, Claudio, I'll see you on Saturday at the wedding, Claudio. But yeah, thanks a lot, guys, for tuning in. And yeah, all the best to the teams playing in the Champions League tonight and tomorrow, obviously, as well. And all the best to West Ham in the Europa League on Thursday. And all the best to, I think, Leicester as well as in the Conference League semis. But yeah, if you don't know what to be.
Be cool.
Be cool.
Thanks a lot, everyone. Cheers.
Peace.